It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we're live on the Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday, and we're live right now on the Line of Fire, what many call Black Friday. We're live, 866-348-7884. You've got questions, we've got answers. Anything under the sun you want to ask me about, as long as it is appropriate for Christian radio, it can be biblical, theological, personal, spiritual. It can be moral, cultural, political, related to Israel, since we didn't have our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast yesterday because of Thanksgiving. Give me a call, 866-348-7884. Many times on a holiday, folks are able to call in that normally can't call. And remember, you can call on your cell phone as you're on your way to shopping or with a break doing something with family. Give us a call. I'd love to answer your questions and do my best to help equip, help strengthen you, help bring clarity. And if you're one of those, you listen regularly and you disagree with me, or I've said some things that you really take issue with, well, tell me why. That's a reason that we have live radio. Last night, after hanging out with the family through a good part of the day, not being on my cell phone, not being on the internet, I got online later in the evening and there was a headline, Israel is burning. I just hadn't heard what had happened, but there are massive fires in Israel. There have been more than 50,000 people evacuated just from Haifa, which is one of the larger cities of Israel. At least 220 fires raging. You say, is the weather that dry? Well, the weather is dry, but these are clearly acts of terror. As Prime Minister Netanyahu said, to paraphrase, it's totally obvious to anyone looking that these are acts of terror, arson terrorism specifically. So there have been arrests that have been made already, obviously firefighters fighting this, but this is a great time to pray for rain for Israel. Yes, this is a great time to pray for rain. So God, drench that land with rain and turn the hearts of your people there in Israel to you. Turn the hearts of secular Israelis to you, Father, and turn the hearts of religious Jews to you through Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. That's our prayer today. Also, just want to give you an important phone number to write down. Are you ready? This is not to call the show, but it's an important phone number. Let me share it with you. Are you ready? Got something to jot it down? It is 929-CHANGE-1. 929-242-6431. That is 929-CHANGE-1. Without the least bit of hesitation whatsoever, I want to encourage you to stand with us at the end of the year. Yeah, I know you're doing holiday shopping, many of you, and things like that. But if we've been a blessing to you, put ministry first and stand with us. We have some urgent needs as we come to the end of the year. I had to step back a little from some ministry and speaking because of the passing of my mom. And I've also gone to places to preach where there's not a lot of money, but I'm there to preach and to serve and to minister. I leave for India in a week. And obviously, when we go to India, we pour out, we give, we don't receive financially. These are costly trips. So we're asking you to stand with us. You say, well, what's that number, 929-CHANGE-1? It's your way of standing with us to change the world together. That is a text-to-give number. So you plug that number in, 929-242-6431. Put in the amount that you want to give, be it $5 or $500 or $5,000. Put that in. The first time, it'll take maybe 30 seconds to fill in the info, your name and credit card info. It's all 100% secure. And then once you do it, anytime you want to help us, give, anytime, anywhere in the world, you can do that. Use that number and be a blessing to us. Thank you for standing with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this day after Thanksgiving, and we are live, 866-348-7884. Late last night, I took a walk in our neighborhood with two of our grandsons, one 13, the other about to turn 13, and one of their good friends who's almost 14. And we took a walk through the neighborhood down these paths that go through the woods that are great during the day, but kind of dark and spooky at night. So they wanted to go out a little adventure. So we went out. They had some lanterns. I made them keep them off most of the time, but it was a blast. I hope you got to have some good family time, some good rest time. 866-348-7884. That's the number to call. You've got questions. We've got answers. If you've never listened to the broadcast, by God's grace, I seek to serve as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of this world that is so often in chaos and a society so often in compromise. And any way that I can be of help to you, any area of expertise that I have, do my best to answer your questions. Oh, one other thing before I forget. I gave you our text to give number, 929-CHANGE-1. We have produced in the last year probably 200 articles I've written in the last year. We constantly hear from folks how helpful they are. Leaders share them. Believers share them. Somehow we're able to articulate what you're feeling and get that message out. I've written about 200 articles. Obviously, that takes time and energy. We've produced about 200 videos. And then on top of that, about 500 hours of radio content. If this has been a blessing to you, stand with us. You can give through our website. That's askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Or you can just use text to give. Again, the number 929-CHANGE-1. Help us change the world together. 929-242-6431. Again, just text that number. And in the subject where you're putting in your content, just put in the amount you want to give, and then there'll be a quick dialogue box, and we thank you in advance. And if you want to order any of our digital resources, any of my extensive teaching series on spiritual warfare, or angels, demons, and deliverance, or healing, or prophetic ministry, or special debates that we have on DVD, or counter-missionary teaching on DVD, any of our digital resources that you want to order, 50% off today. Again, just seeking to be a blessing to you and get out materials to as many as possible and help generate some finances to meet some ministry needs here. We run very frugally. Our staff is amazing. They are stretched out. They work sacrificially. And we appreciate you standing with us. Paul wrote that the one that has taught the word should share all good things with his teacher. So if we've been a blessing to you, here's a great way for you to stand with us. Again, to get in the broadcast now, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to go right to the phones. We'll start with Bryson in Powder Springs, Georgia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? My condolences to your mom, passing on your mom.
Oh, well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that. Hey, I've got a question for you, Bryson. How did Powder Springs get its name? Do you know?
Oh, no, I actually don't.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. I saw the name. I thought, that's interesting. I don't even know what Powder Springs are. But anyway, thanks for calling, and thanks for your condolences. Much appreciated, sir.
Okay. Oh, my question, I have three quick questions. It was basically on the serpent in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the curse that God put on them about him crawling on his back. My first question is, did snakes used to walk? Okay. And my second question is, if God knew that it was Satan inside the serpent, why did he curse the serpent, you know, to crawl on his belly? And my final question, this is for my six-year-old son, who always asks me, dinosaurs in the Bible. How do I explain dinosaurs in the Bible?
Got it. Okay. I love the questions, and I'm thrilled that your six-year-old has one. Let's deal with dinosaurs first. It's possible, just possible, that the book of Job, at the end of the book of Job, where it speaks of Leviathan, is speaking of a dinosaur, it's or behemoth. It's possible. Now, here's the problem. If they were speaking of dinosaurs that somehow human beings had remembered, then that would mean human beings were here the same time as dinosaurs were, in which case the Earth would be younger than scientists posit. In other words, it would not be millions of years old, but maybe hundreds of thousands of years old or even less, and that therefore there were dinosaurs and human beings on the planet at the same time. However, if we say that dinosaurs are not mentioned in the Bible, it's no problem because the Bible is focused on Earth with human beings living on it, and that this would have been at a time period long before human beings were here. Some argue in Genesis 1 there's a term, Tanin, which speaks of a great sea monster, that could refer to dinosaurs that were created by God. But either dinosaurs were here when human beings were here. That's what young Earth creationists argue. So you could tell your six-year-old, some people think that dinosaurs and people here at the same time, and then the dinosaurs died out through some type of catastrophe. And others say that the dinosaurs were here first, and then something happened, you know, ice age, whatever scientists speak of, and the dinosaurs got all wiped out. But we know they were here from the fossils. That's undeniable. There are some young Earth creationists who argue that there are discoveries made with regard to dinosaurs, soft tissue and things that point to dinosaurs being more recent, you know, not millions of years old. And then old Earth creationists have their answer to that. I'm not a scientist, so I can't decide, you know, who's right or wrong on those. But it's really not a big question. God made dinosaurs, and they got wiped out at a certain time, either before we were ever here, and we know them through the fossils, or at the same time human beings were here before they got wiped out, and then their memory is preserved in some biblical text, if the latter is the case. With regard to the snake, we don't know for sure if snakes had legs, but you will find many who claim that snakes have vestigial legs or that there have been some discoveries of snakes with legs and that this is the Bible's way of explaining why they once had legs. And for example, the website Answers in Genesis answers the question, did the serpent originally have legs? And it says, determining features of the serpent from the precious little information given in the Bible is a difficult task. These folks believe in young Earth creation. And you can find answers there. Some say, yes, they did have legs. Some theologians say no. John Calvin said no. Adam Clark said yes. Scientists and those who've written about the flood and things like that, Henry Morris, say yes. He says the body of the serpent, in addition, was altered even further by eliminating his ability to stand erect eye to eye with man, as it were. But that's speculation. As for God cursing the snake, if it was Satan working through the snake, you could say that was God's way of doing this symbolically for the whole earthly creation to see. Was the snake complicit? In other words, did the snake go along with it? Like, all right, devil, you can use me. I mean, that would be stretching it a little, I think.
Yeah.
But you could say that it was a visible curse for the human race, a curse on all of the created world. So it was a curse on the ground. It was a curse on human beings. It was a curse on the animal world. And because Satan used the snake, it was a specific curse on the snake to be symbolic in that regard. And again, there are other images of Satan from the ancient world appearing as a snake, so that for whatever reason, he'd have these types of associations, or of a multi-headed serpent. And because of that, it could just be God's judgment on the spiritual realm, and this is how it's manifest in the natural realm.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, what is your opinion on, do you think the snakes had legs or not?
You know, I really don't know. I don't have an opinion. You know, there's so many millions of things that you think about and study and wonder about. It would seem so, based on the biblical text. You know, that would be maybe the most natural reading. But beyond that, yeah, that if my life depended on it, I'd say no opinion. If I just had to give a, if I had to give a casual guess, I'd say yeah, I think so, could well be, but we don't know for sure. Hey, thanks for the call, and may you have a blessed season of holiday time, family time, with your 6-year-old and the rest of your family.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Remember, friends, any of our digital downloads, any of my audio, video teachings, teaching series, debates, apologetics, Jewish ministry, spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, predestination, election, revival, prayer, and intercession, all available at 50% off. Just go to thelineoffire.org, get all the digital downloads you want, no limit to what you get, 50% off, and they'll just use a special checkout code on the way out. So it's all there on thelineoffire.org. Take advantage of this, share it with your friends. Obviously, we can't do this often, but we want to be a blessing to you at this time of the year, and you'll be a blessing to us as you order as well. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got questions. We've got answers. We go to Gloria in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks so much for joining us today.
How are you? God bless you.
God bless you.
I wanted to tell you about a true story, something that is true that happened in the city of Newark. Around the time of, I don't know, when they passed the law in the 80s or early 90s, they passed laws about drugs. So family court here in Newark was beginning to sever families, taking black children, giving them to other people, putting them up for adoption, and getting $3,000 a piece, like, you know, for a child. So in this particular circumstance, there was a so-called, quote-unquote, psychologist that was working for the state of New Jersey, the child welfare system here. And he was found out to be by the person who the babies were taken from was an unlicensed doctor. Instead, they turned around, blackballed the mom, took away her children, did not... can I speak this?
Well, yeah, if you have a Bible question or some kind of theological question I can help you with, great. If it's a legal situation or something...
No, it's not legal anymore, because...
Yeah, well, how could we be of help to you on the broadcast here? Obviously, we have folks that can pray, but is there a specific question you have that,
yeah,
that we can help you with?
Yeah, I wanted to know, all right, I listened to how we are supposed to pray for Israel, lift Israel up, and I have no problem with that because that's what we are supposed to do according to the Bible. But the other side of that is some of the people who commit these crimes, they're Jewish.
Oh, listen, Gloria, we don't pray for Israel because of the goodness of Jewish people. We pray for Israel because of God's mercy. Just like when we pray for any human being for God to save them or have mercy on them, we don't do it because of their goodness, but God's goodness. Yeah, Gloria, if you take a group like the ACLU, which is massively funded, and fighting legal cases across America, they're almost always on the opposite side of my friends and colleagues. Many of them are atheists. Many of them reject the Bible. Many of them stand for radical gay and lesbian, quote, rights, and radical abortion, quote, rights, and things like that. And a lot of them are Jewish. One of my friends, who's a great lover of Israel and the Jewish people, says that every time he's a lawyer, every time he's going to court to fight against atheism or to fight against aggressive gay activism, he's got a Jewish guy on the other side of it. So unfortunately, many American Jews are very liberal, and in their mind, they're fighting for the cause of humanity and taking up these cases. And obviously, I say they're on the exact opposite side. And then Israel itself, although in many ways it's an extraordinary nation and stands out from the surrounding nations, it's still lost. The majority of the nation is fairly secular, and they sin like everybody else. And you go to Tel Aviv, and it's a worldly city like any other big city in the world. And then the ultra-Orthodox Jews, who are very religious and devoted, of course, are absolutely hostile to faith in Jesus. So, yeah, Gloria, we don't pray for Israel and the Jewish people because of Israel's merit or because of the goodness of Jews, but because of the mercy of God. As God has had mercy on Gentiles through the Jewish people, through the Jewish Messiah, then Gentiles pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. They've received mercy, now they pray for mercy on them. So sad to say, what you experienced is not unique, or what you talked about is not unique. Many times these Jewish leaders feel they're doing the right thing, but I say they're often on the wrong side of justice. And we pray for Israel because of God's mercy. Thank you for calling. May God's grace be yours in abundance. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, just to give you this number again, hold it handy as you're able to stand with us today or over the next 5 weeks. It would really help us. You have my heartfelt word on that. 929-CHANGE-1. That's 929-242-6431. That's the text to give number. I tried it out yesterday as we launched the app. So you just type in that number, 929-CHANGE-1, as you help us change the world together. Whatever amount is that you can help us with, type that amount in, the text part of it, and then you'll have a little screen come up just to verify a couple of things. And once it's set up, it's set up. So thank you again for standing with us. Let's go to Joe in Jersey City, New Jersey. Welcome, sir, to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. It's my honor to speak to you. I feel terrible for your loss. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Brown, last night I was watching the Channel 13. They were saying the end of Peter's life. Apostle Paul have problems with each other. Is it true? I don't know that. I never heard that before.
No. The only thing we know in Scripture is that in Galatians, the second chapter, they had a conflict about Jewish believers putting pressure on Gentile believers to live as Jews. And Peter acted in a hypocritical way, that he was eating with the Gentile believers in Galatia. And then these other believers came in, these Jewish believers, who were saying, no, Jewish believers have to be separated, and Gentiles, you need to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. And Peter at that moment didn't stand strong enough, and Paul publicly rebuked him. But no, there's no evidence of later in life having a dispute or falling out. Acts 15 shows them as being completely on the same page, declaring that the Gentiles and Jews are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, and that Gentile believers do not have to be burdened by keeping the law of Moses. And then 2 Peter, the third chapter, which reflects what we understand to be the last words of Peter, he refers to Paul's writings as actually being Scripture, and says that some people twist the Scriptures. They find Paul's words difficult and twist them. So no, there's some that try to come up with these theories, Joe, but there's a reason you never heard of it. It's because the Bible doesn't teach it. Thank you, sir. May the blessing of God be yours. Friends, I'm taking calls for another 90 minutes. You can get in at 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. We are live on this day after Thanksgiving here on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. 1 week from today, I'm scheduled to leave for India, my 24th trip to India. This time, for the first time ever, on the way back from India, going to Italy to pour into young people there about Israel. I received a passionate appeal to do it. We're able to work it out with schedule to do that. And that will also, interestingly, be my 24th trip to Italy. So India and Italy will be doing some special broadcasts for you, also having some special guest hosts. But if you'd like to help us with the costs of the India trip, just go to thelineoffire.org, click on donate, or use our text to give option 929-CHANGE-1. That's 929-242-6431. By the way, some folks listen on podcast and it's 2 hours straight. You're listening and you say, how come you make so many announcements? Because on radio, live radio, folks are in and out of their cars. And then we have different stations that join us or leave us in the course of 2 hours. So we want everyone to know if there's something important going on. We certainly want every half hour to make sure that's shared. Sometimes every 15 minutes to make sure it's shared, because many times that's the only time someone will hear it. If there's critically important news, we try to do that as well. Just for your information, in case you ever wondered. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Promise in Nanuet, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Bond.
Hey.
I found your question about the dinosaurs very interesting, because even when I was a student, scientists always had theories as to the extinction of the dinosaurs. And they're talking about Ice Age, like you did say. But if you do go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, the Lord does give you the answer. He says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He wasn't talking about the flood, you know, during Noah's time, but he was speaking of pre-Adamite creation. And the war, and if you go to Genesis 1:2, the world was of darkness and void, and that's not of the Lord. And so, really, the dinosaurs from that verse were actually perished by a flood during Lucifer's revelation.
Yeah, so that's another way that some would look at this. Obviously, the most natural reading of 2 Peter 3, you would think, because it talks about the world perishing through a flood, that it's talking about Noah's day, and we have immediate context in 2 Peter about Noah and things like that. However, yes, it is true that there's some who believe that Genesis 1:1, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then this is how they translate Genesis 1:2, the Hebrew, v'ha'aretz ha'ita tohu v'avohu, and the earth had become formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's how some would argue. Now, I don't read the Hebrew like that, but it is possible, sir, to read the Hebrew like that. They would also then point to Isaiah 45, where it says God did not create the earth a tohu, a void, a waste. So the question would be, how did it become that? Now, the counter argument is, no, that's not what the Hebrew says, and Isaiah 45 just means God did not create it to be a waste, but rather to be inhabited. But some, as our brother is saying, understand that there was a world created before the world that the rest of Genesis 1 speaks of, that it came under judgment with the fall of Satan, or he was cast down to earth. It came under judgment, and that's how God judged it. It became formless and void. It was destroyed. And that's why there was darkness, because of sin and because of judgment and destruction. And 2 Peter 3, speaking of that world, which was then destroyed, that's the world where the dinosaurs would have been, or pre-Adamic beings like humans would have been. It's another theory. Thank you, sir, for reminding us of that.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, can I remind you that God's Word does not tell us everything we want to know, but it tells us everything we need to know. And therefore, there will be questions where we can differ. There will be questions where we'll have different perspectives. There will be questions where one reader will see one thing and another reader another thing, but those will be non-essentials. That which we need to know to live a life pleasing to God, that which we need to know to be right with Him in this world and the world to come, that which we need to know to fulfill our mission and calling is there, is available. And if we'll seek God earnestly and study His Word diligently and humble ourselves before Him, He will lead us into all truth. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Eddie in Simpsonville, South Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, it's my honor, sir, to talk with you. I listen to you all the time. In fact, I found you on the radio in prison, and you really fascinate me. But you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, sir. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay. I was calling in reference to your Hyper Grace book.
Yes.
I don't have it. I haven't read it. I can't afford it right now because I'm on a low income. But anyway, or fixed income. In Jude chapters 3 and 4, specifically verse 4, it talks about those who have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, they've turned it into something that it's not. Now, my understanding is that Calvinism perfected this, but it originated with Augustine. And it says, for those who do that, that the blackest of judgment is reserved for them. And I do not say this, sir, in a condemning way of anybody who believes that. But my question is, since Jude says that the blackest of judgment is reserved for these people who teach that or believe that, how can we call them brothers in Christ? And I believe that this teaching is a salvation issue according to Galatians 6:6-8, because eternal life is mentioned there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eddie, so to answer your question, here's what Jude writes. He says, Jude verses 3 and 4, "Dear friends, although I was eager to write you about the salvation we share, I found it necessary to write and exhort you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. For some men who were designated for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth. They are ungodly, turning the grace of our God into promiscuity and denying Jesus Christ, our only Master and Lord." All right, so to be clear, neither Augustine nor John Calvin in any way, shape, size, or form, deny Jesus Christ as our only Master and Lord. To the contrary, they teach that emphatically. Nor do they say because of grace that we can live sinful lives however we want to. They would both emphasize holiness. And John Calvin would say that if someone does not live a holy life and they die in their sins, no matter what faith they profess, that they were never truly saved. So I have differences with these men over certain aspects of their theology, but when it comes to what Jude is speaking of, it's speaking of people who say, because of grace, sin is no longer sin. Because of grace, God's already forgiven you, and therefore you can do whatever you want to do without consequence. Because of grace, as one heretic says today, everything is now sanctified. Profanity is sanctified. Sinful acts are sanctified because we've made them holy. That's a complete perversion of the message. If you say, well, hey, I'm forgiven, so I can shack up with my neighbor's wife. It doesn't matter. Hey, I'm forgiven. I can go out and rob a bank and use the money for whatever I want. It doesn't matter. That's an absolute perversion. And mainstream hyper-grace teachers that I differ with in my book, Eddie, they don't teach that either. They say that grace empowers us not to sin, that grace is not a license to sin. But because they have a wrong theology about forgiveness, they say that we've already been forgiven for sins we haven't yet committed. And therefore, the Holy Spirit will never convict us of sin. We don't need to confess our sins for forgiveness. Because of that, they open the door to this kind of error. Hey, Eddie, stay on the line. Betsy is going to come on. I want to get your mailing address, and I want to send you my more recent book, The Grace Controversy, that deals with these issues head on. I think you'll find it very helpful. The Grace Controversy. Betsy's going to get your contact info, and we'll mail you a free copy of the book as our gift to you. Again, that'll be The Grace Controversy coming your way, and Betty will get your contact info now. 866-348-7884. Another reminder, friends, everything that we have in digital form on our website, debates with rabbis, extensive teaching series, debates on theological issues, video, audio, everything that we have on digital download, you can order today at 50% off. So go to our radio website. That's thelineoffire.org. Go to the radio website and you can order that 50% off. You'll get everything downloaded to your computer today, and they are yours to keep. Again, there'll be a special code that you use when checking out, but that's all there right on the homepage. You'll see the banner for The Line of Fire. That's thelineoffire.org. All right, let's go to Larry in Middletown, Maryland. Welcome to The Line of Fire, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I love your show. I've called before. I'm here with my grandson, Evan. He wants to hear your answer.
Hey, Evan. How old is Evan?
Say hi.
Hi.
How old is Evan?
Evan's seven.
Seven. All right.
Yeah, we had a sleepover. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Anyway, my question is, Dr. Brown, the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Am I to understand, let's say when I die, because I am born again, am I going to go directly to heaven or not?
Yes, I understand, according to scripture, that the moment we die as believers, instantly we find ourselves in the presence of God. Now, we don't have our resurrected body yet, but our inner being, our inner man, which is a spirit, we are instantly in the presence of God. So yes, 2 Corinthians 5 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So for Evan to understand, if you get out of your house and go into your car and drive away in the car, you're now absent from the house but present in the car, right? So we leave this world, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Paul seems to speak of that in Philippians 1, where he talks about dying and says to depart and be with Jesus is far better. And then in Luke's gospel, in Luke 23, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he tells the thief who confessed his faith in him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then we see in Revelation, the sixth chapter, that people who were beheaded for the gospel, that it says that their souls are under the throne of God and they're crying out, how long, O Lord? So, yes, as I understand it, Larry, this physical body is a tent in which we live. If you've ever gone I'm not a camping kind of person, but if you've ever gone camping with your kids or your grandkids, so you go out of the house, you go in the tent, and now you're in that tent, and when you leave that tent, you go somewhere else. So this body is like a tent that we live in. In the case of my precious mom, that tent started to wear out when she was 94 years old. And last Friday, she left the tent of this body, her frail little body, left the tent of this body and went to be with the Lord. That's what I understand scripture to say.
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, and have a blessed time with your family.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Ashton, you're next, but we've got a break coming up. You know, friends, we get calls around the world, leaders, Christian leaders, political leaders, professors in different countries, they're confronted with a lot of the stuff we're confronted with in America. And they say, what do we do? What do we do? And many times I tell them, don't make the same mistakes we made in America with moral and cultural issues, and urge the church to wake up and do what's right. As you pray for us, friends, and I know so many of you do, and I can't thank you enough, as you pray for us, by God's grace, the message we're getting out has a ripple effect, not only around America, but around the world as well. So together, friends, we really are making a difference. This is a team effort, and your faith, your prayers, your financial support carry us as together we lift up the Lord and see His kingdom advanced in this world. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to our live broadcast on the day after Thanksgiving. I love radio. I much prefer being live than doing a pre-recorded broadcast. Sometimes while traveling overseas, we have to do a pre-recorded show or have a guest host simply because if I'm on, say, a 20 hours or 30 hours of travel to my destination in India or Singapore, wherever I'm going, we can't broadcast from 35,000 feet in the air. But otherwise, my joy to be live with you virtually every other day of the year. So thanks so much for being part of the broadcast. 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers. We go to Ashton in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Hey, I have a question for you that I get a lot of mixed answers on, and it's one that I think is really important. So I'm hoping you could give some insight on this. But my question is, can you lose your salvation?
Yeah, I'm asked this question constantly, and we've discussed it for whole radio broadcasts. I prefer to phrase the question, can you forfeit your salvation? Lose is something that's accidental. You ever lost your keys or lost your glasses? Losing glasses is especially dangerous because you need your glasses to find your glasses, and you misplace them, and I can't find them. Where'd I leave the keys? Salvation is not like that. Salvation is not something that you can just lose or misplace. One day you realize, oh, I think I lost my salvation. What happened? So I don't like to use that term. I would rather use the term, can you forfeit your salvation? And to me and many others, the Bible is very clear that the answer is yes. Someone can refuse God's gift of grace as a non-believer or as a believer. That's why there are many warnings through the scriptures urging us to persevere to the end and promising us God's help and God's care to keep us to the end. But I use this analogy simply because it works well. If I'm flying overseas, and I do quite often, maybe it's the longest single flight on the will be 15 hours. So during that flight, I'm going to sleep some. And I can go to sleep, and I'm at rest, and I'm secure. And I know that airline is solid and in good shape, and it's going to get me to where I'm going. I could theoretically get up from sleep and go over to the door and open the emergency door and jump out and kill myself. Theoretically, I could do that. However, as long as I stay on the plane, I'm perfectly safe. So God has given us great big promises, Ashton, that He who began the work will bring it to completion, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hands, that not death or life or anything in this world has the power to separate us from God. So there is nothing outside of us that has the power to separate us from God. At the same time, there are clear warnings in the Bible warning us against falling away, warning us against abandoning the faith, and telling us that there'd be grave consequences, that, those who live in sin and refuse to follow the Lord and refuse the Lordship of Jesus will suffer the consequences. So yes, we can forfeit our salvation. The most frequent warnings are found in the book of Hebrews, perhaps because of the tremendous pressure that would be on Jewish people to leave the faith and go back to their Jewish way of life without the Messiah. But you find many warnings like this throughout the New Testament. So the warnings are serious and the promises are serious. And if you want to follow the Lord, you have nothing to worry about. He will keep you safe to the end. If someone refuses to stay in the Father's house and rejects Jesus as Lord and denies him, the word says if we deny him, he'll deny us. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. And Colossians tells us that we are made partakers of eternal life if we persevere in the faith. So yes, we can forfeit our salvation, but we have zero, zero to worry about if we've committed our lives to the Lord and want him to be the Lord of our lives.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask you a quick follow-up question?
Sure.
What would you say to someone who would say to you that salvation is a gift from God that he will not take away?
He won't. We can refuse it.
We refuse it.
Yeah, that's why I say we forfeit it. And that's why Hebrews 12 says don't forfeit the grace of God. Yeah, so we can forfeit it. We can refuse it. Just like salvation is a gift to a lost sinner and that lost sinner can say no, so also we can receive eternal life and then reject it. Someone says, well, God does not make sons and unmake sons. Once he makes us his children, we're his children. Yes, but he doesn't force us to stay in his house. So we can refuse the gift. We don't earn it, Ashton. It's not a matter of I'm saved because of my good works. I'm saved because I'm praying a lot. I'm saved because I didn't think a lustful thought. I'm saved because I shared the gospel with my neighbor. No, I'm saved because of the grace of God through Jesus. However, I can reject that grace. I can refuse it. I can say, I don't want your grace. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live in sin. And no one who refuses Jesus as Lord will be with him forever.
Thank you very much. That's a great answer. I really appreciate that.
You bet. You bet. Thank you for calling. All right, friends, maybe you're just tuning in now and like, oh, man, he's only got 2 minutes left. 2 minutes left in this hour, but one more hour after that. So here's the number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And I'll be taking calls for another hour. Even if you're not listening on the radio, you can continue to listen as you call in, and we'll take your calls in the next hour as well. Hey, have we been a blessing to you, friends? Has this radio broadcast helped you? Have the articles that I've written, about 200 articles in the last year, have they helped you? The videos we put out, about 200 videos as well, plus the 500 hours of radio broadcasts, have these been a blessing and help to you? We don't want to take money from your local church. We don't want to ask you to sacrifice in a way that you can't pay your own bills and provide for your family. But if we've been a blessing to you, we could really use your help right now. We're just in a crunch for a number of reasons. Again, I go places to minister that don't bring in a lot of money. We go there because we feel called to help people. Going to India every year, we pay for these trips, and obviously it takes us away from other ministry we could be doing. Even in the States, we'll go to places. When I'm asked to go to college campuses, they say, what's the budget to bring you in? I said, if you have a speaker fee, that's great. That will help our ministry. I said, otherwise, just get me there. And I'm there. We'll do the debate. We'll do what we do. But we can only do this with your help. The same with the radio broadcast. So go to the website now, thelineoffire.org. Help us with a one-time gift. Don't spend all your money on holiday gifts and have nothing for ministry. And if you want to text to give, 929-CHANGE-1. That's 929-CHANGE-1. My bottom line, none of us are an island. We stand or fall together. It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we're live on the Line of Fire. You've got questions. We've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family yesterday. For those of you that find yourselves alone, may the Lord provide good companions and friends for you. And above all, may his presence be near you. This is Michael Brown, and we are live on what the world calls Black Friday, or America calls Black Friday. We are live, and the number to call, 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers. It's my delight to help you with any question of any kind you have in any area of expertise I have. If you're not able to call in because of work, that's another reason why we help you, seek to help by being live on certain holidays. This way, it's a great time for you to be able to listen live and call in. So 866-348-7884. I'm just looking at news on the Jerusalem Post, updates on the fires in Israel. Over 220 fires raging, over 50,000 people evacuated from Haifa alone, and clearly the work of terrorists along with arsonists, who are understood here as arsonist terrorists, along with the dry conditions. Police reported, according to the Jerusalem Post, that in total 12 individuals have been investigated for arson and incitement. And the U.S. 747 supertanker landed today in Israel to assist with extinguishing the raging fires that have erupted across the country for a fourth consecutive day. The supertanker, based on the Boeing 747, is the largest aerial firefighting aircraft in the world, and is capable of carrying up to 19,600 gallons of retardant or water. Wow. And let us pray for rain and pray for the turning of the hearts of the nation to the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Jonathan in Barrhead, Alberta. Hey, nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
That was quick. I didn't expect to get on so early.
Yeah, well, beginning of the hour, when you call it the end of the last, it works well.
Yeah, I was just reading in Deuteronomy chapter 26 today, and I saw that it's talking about, I think it was verse 6, talking about the tithe is to go to the Levite, and then also to the alien, and to the foreigner, and to the widow, and the poor. And I was looking in the art scroll about the commentary on that, and it's saying that it was on a 3-year cycle, so that it would be 2 years for the Levi, and then 1 year for the poor. And I was just wondering if you had any insights on that.
Yeah, Rabbinic Judaism develops a lot of detailed tithing rules. There's a whole tractate in the Mishnah and the Talmud just on tithing. And there's, you know, secondary tithes and tertiary tithes. It becomes a very complex system. It ends up, some have estimated, you know, over 20% of the income. There's also the tithe that then is when you bring it to Jerusalem, and then some of it you turn it into cash because you couldn't bring just the physical produce, and then some of it you'd even expend to feast together as a family. It's not entirely clear in terms of how it broke out. Rabbinic Judaism breaks it out a certain way and says, okay, 2 years this, 1 year that. It's not entirely clear from the biblical text that that's the way that everything was divided. But yeah, that is, it's fairly complex scripturally. And we know again that the first fruits of funds were always given to support the Lord's work, and hence caring for the Levites, because they did not have professions other than serving the temple and serving the spiritual needs of the people. But then also some of it was for the poor. So you see how Rabbinic Judaism has developed it in the Art Scroll volume, but there's debate as to whether that is exactly the way Moses instituted it.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just two very quick and important announcements for those just joining us. This is Michael Brown. We are live on this day after Thanksgiving. You've got questions, we've got answers. The number to call is always 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. All right, two quick announcements. First, we have a large digital library on our radio website, thelineoffire.org. We have a large digital library. Debates I've done with rabbis, debates I've done with Christian colleagues over theological issues, extensive teaching series on audio, on video. All of them are available at 50% off today. Yeah, they're discounted to start, but then 50% off all digital downloads. So maybe you don't have a chance till later today to go to the website, but go to thelineoffire.org, click on the banner on the homepage, and you'll see there's a special code to put in, BF16, for Black Friday 16, and 50% on all digital downloads, and they're yours to keep. These are not just to listen to a few times and then you lose the rights to them. They are yours to keep. So take advantage of that. Also, jot down this new number, all right? 929-CHANGE-1. It's a number where you can partner with us to help change the world together. 929-CHANGE-1. That's 929-242-6431. That's a text-to-give app. We've never had it before. We're so glad to have it to make it as convenient as we can for you to partner with us. And what you do when you use it, so you type in 929-CHANGE-1, that's 929-242-6431, and then where you'd normally put your message, just put the amount that you want to give. And once you click on that, then you'll get a return dialog for your name and credit card info, all of that. It's all seamless. It's all secure. And once you set up your account, anytime you want, you just feel prompted, hey, I want to stand with Dr. Brown. Hey, I want to send a word of encouragement to Mike in the form of a gift. All this helps us tremendously. I don't mind at all the pressure of ugly attacks. In fact, that's part of the gospel, and it's promised. I get them literally day and night. Some I'd share with you, but they're too ugly. They're too foul. They're too despicable. That comes with the territory. No problem. Take that 24/7. And the threats and all the other junk and the no problem. And the pressures of travel and writing and with joy. But we get worn out when there's financial pressure simply because gifts aren't coming in. So we are listener supported what we do. Thank you in advance for standing with us. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. And I'm going to grab some email questions and then go to the phones. And let's see where I want to start. Here's an interesting email from Randall. Dr. Randall, won't give you his last name. When recent news flashed about spirit cooking, witchcraft with body fluids, and WikiLeaks, there was news about, quote, Chelsea Manning, transsexual in prison, and another suicide attempt. My questions regarding transsexuality and transsexuals have been extremely prominent in news with Bruce Caitlin Jenner, Manning Supreme Court decision, men becoming women. It's prominent in politics, North Carolina bathroom issues, Supreme Court decision, same-sex marriage. So his questions, what's going on spiritually? Have ones like Manning, Jenner become possessed by succubus female demon spirit that makes them feel like a woman trapped in a man's body? I do not believe in gender dysphoria except as a demonic-induced illness. A friend of mine, minister friend, said the local high school now had a trans club. It's heartbreaking the influence of culture, Hollywood, TV industry, politics are having on our young persons. I ministered as a Pentecostal professor. I learned and taught about spiritual warfare. I've not heard very good teaching or explanation for transsexualism, its prominence in politics and culture, what's going on spiritually, why the devil wants men converting to women, etc., without good teaching and counsel, how are ministers to deal with these issues affecting youth and young adults? Romans 1 speaks clearly about homosexual urges, reprobate mind. I'm less clear on the intersection of transsexuality, politics, power, culture, and cross-dressing, etc. Deuteronomy clearly speaks against cross-dressing, transvestite tendencies. Could you and would you shed some light on these issues, please? Okay, a bunch of questions, but all related and certainly important questions. Let's first realize we're dealing with human beings loved by God, created in the image of God, but fallen like every other human being and therefore in need of redemption, in need of a savior. Okay? So that's where we start. And we understand that demons are involved with lots of things that could range from heroin addiction to violence to food addictions to sexual urges to confusion about gender. Demons can be involved in all kinds of things. Nonetheless, I'm not going to blame everything on demons or say the devil made me do it kind of thing. Okay? Instead, I want to look at whatever explanations I can to best understand. And then if there are spiritual factors involved, we factor them in as well. When it comes to the larger issue of gay activism, of which the T word, the transgender word, is a part, that is a larger assault on the foundations of male and female. God created us as human beings, Genesis 1, 26 following. So when we see gay activism and we see concerns about, you know, here two men want to be able to, quote, marry, or two women want to be able to, quote, marry, I've said for years, it's not just about that. There is a large, and I don't mean for every individual, there is a larger assault on the separation of gender, the celebration of maleness and femaleness, the distinct ways in which God made us, and the unique function of a man and a woman, and our unique relationship one to another. So there is a larger attack on gender, a war on gender, putting people in the binary gender of either male or female or things like that. I write about it extensively in Outlasting the Gay Revolution. So that's what we're seeing now. And there's pushback against that because people realize, wait a second, there are differences. Wait, you're not going to just level this all out so every bathroom and locker room becomes gender neutral and things like that. So there's a reaction against it. It's nothing to do with hate or transphobia. It has to do with recognition of right and wrong, recognition of the way God made us, recognition of biological distinctives, recognition of the right to privacy, and things like that. Why is it that some people feel that they are trapped in the wrong body? There are many different things that can be going on. There's something called body identity integrity disorder, BIID, where people feel that they shouldn't have a left leg or a right arm, or they shouldn't have sight or hearing, and they want to be impaired. They feel that something's wrong if they're not impaired. That is another serious condition. Something is not registering correctly in their brain. There are anorexics who think they're fat, and yet, as Dr. Paul McHugh pointed out, we don't give them liposuction. So the brain is very complex. And why people have these different disorders, is it mental? Are there hormonal issues going on and some things in physical upbringing and biology? Is it all a matter of environment or is it primarily spiritual? I don't think you can make a specific case except to say that spiritually there is an attack on the human race as God created us to be, an attack on male-female distinctives, an attack on marriage and family as God intended it. That's where the spiritual attack is, and then all of these other confusions ultimately come out of that. But again, specifically, why an individual feels the way they do, it could be one thing for an older person and another for a child. There are things that are traceable back environmentally, and we can identify that in parenting and upbringing. I'd suggest that you go to two websites, helpforfamilies.com, H-E-L-P, the number four, families, helpforfamilies.com, and sexchangeregret.com, helpforfamilies.com with the number four, and sexchangeregret.com. These are both websites that are run by believers, Jesus followers, and people with direct experience in these areas. On the one hand, Help for Families, founded by Denise Schick, whose father identified as a woman, and when I think she was just 9 years old, he decided to tell her his secret. Of course, had a devastating effect on her, and she watched her dad's life with sadness over the years. And then sexchangeregret.com, Walt Heyer, who had sex change surgery only to realize that that was not the root of his problems. There were other issues to deal with. You find a lot of useful information there. And then again, there are spiritual factors that can be factored in with every issue in human behavior. I'm just not going to draw conclusions and say that this is therefore spiritual. All right, we come back. We go straight to your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. It is the day after Thanksgiving. We are live, 866-348-7884, the number to call. Let's go to Paul in Rousseau, Minnesota. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say I'm thankful for your program. I discovered it about 2.5 years ago, and it was like finding an oasis in the desert. I learned immediately your priorities were right on, your love of Israel, pro-life, biblical marriage, respect for the Word of God, your missions emphasis. So, and I'm one of those that listens to you when I walk my dog or go running, so I really appreciate your program.
Well, thank you for the very kind words.
I recently did a study of Genesis, and as I studied the Tower of Babel, I was fascinated. There are about 7,000 languages in the world today, but from what I understand, they can be grouped into about 100 language families or core languages, which would be very close to the number of families that came out of Babel. My question for you, with your love of language and expertise in languages, have you ever speculated on the mechanism that God may have used to bring about the language split at Babel?
No, it's an interesting question, and there's not sufficient data for us to speculate on that. You know, some claim, well, look, if you look in the book of Genesis, it's presuming Hebrew. You have Adam. Adam is taken from the Adama, earth, and the Isha, the woman, is taken from the Ish, man, and Chava, you know, Eve, the mother of all living, that it's all presuming Hebrew as the original language spoken. So then all the changes at Babylon would have been changed from that. But what we understand there is it's the author of Genesis is writing it for us in Hebrew, and in a way that we understand as a Hebrew reader. Just as if it had been written in English, then things would be described in such a way that we could best understand them. But you could say, well, was it a Semitic language that was originally spoken first? As far back as we know, we do have the different language families. You know, so the language families, say, that would work themselves out in China and parts of Asia, and the language families that would work themselves out in the Middle East, and language families work themselves out in Europe and other parts of the world, you know, the main language families. But what, if there was a proto-language, what that proto-language was, and then the mechanism that was used that then suddenly changed things? No, I've never studied it, although, again, my master's and PhD were in Near Eastern languages and literature, as you alluded to, my love for languages. We had classes where we talked about how different languages developed, and, you know, was it different people groups? This is just scientifically, not looking at the Bible. Was it just different people groups in different parts of the world? Languages developed independently. Were there ways of change and immigration and that brought about shifts and things like that? We just don't know. And if there is information that's available to us, I'm not aware of it. So great question, but really don't know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. Yep. All right. You know, a lot of times you say, "That's a website says it all." Look, a lot of the stuff is bogus. Okay. You said, but I heard theories. Yeah, a lot of the theories are bogus. So I don't want to burst too many bubbles, but just to mention that. Oh, okay. Yeah, so friends, check out our digital library. We've got some brand new videos there. Is great faith a gift from God, or can we grow in our faith? The one-hour tribute to my mother, which folks have really been touched by and said they've listened with tears and they were inspired. That's available on the digital library, so just go to thelineoffire.org, click on the digital library, check out the resources. Everything there is free on the digital library. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Grant in New Iberia, Louisiana. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I am so thankful for what you do.
Well, thank you.
All right. My question is kind of lengthy, so I'll just let you know whenever I'm finished.
Okay, well, go for it. Just remember we're on the radio with time frames, so you'll have to be as concise as you can. Go ahead.
I have heard your testimony about how you came to faith in Yeshua at around age 16, and I remember hearing in your testimony that your parents wanted you to go and meet and talk to the local rabbis. I know how that feels because I was a former Roman Catholic and got saved in a Baptist church. I feel God has called me to do what you did, which is talk to the local priests and become more knowledgeable about my former faith. How do I go about talking to all these different people while taking respectful differences? And what are some suggestions on how to approach these priests so we can have rational conversations while disagreeing? I feel that people who leave a faith system should be able to have sound and legitimate reasons why they left it and be able to give a defense. So that's my question.
Yes, sir. The first thing is you want to pray and really get a heart for Roman Catholics and for others who may have been raised in a religion but not know the Lord personally, not know forgiveness of sins through Jesus. The first thing you want to do is have a heart for their salvation. It seems you do. It seems you have a burden for it. But you really want to pray, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart, and ask for a real heart of love, a baptism of love for these people so you can intercede for them. The greatest thing you can do is pray. Secondly, sharing your testimony is always important. If you're talking to a Catholic person, say, hey, tell me about your relationship with God. And tell me about when you know that you receive forgiveness of sins, or if you die, you go into God's presence, because their orientation would be very different on many of these points. When you share your own testimony and how you knew you received forgiveness and how you knew you had eternal life, that's big. That makes a difference. So that's a second thing. So you pray for a heart of love for them. Secondly, share your testimony. Thirdly, whatever you do, say, hey, well, let's look at what the Bible says, because we both agree the Bible is God's word. You could say, you know, I know you believe Catholic tradition is also inspired, but we do agree that the Bible is God's word. So let's see what the Bible says. And you always want to go back to that. Say, if you could show me what you believe based on Scripture and it's different than what I believe, I'll follow the Scriptures. And if I could show you what I believe based on Scripture and it's different than what you believe, would you follow the Scriptures? That's what you want to do, again, in a respectful way. And that seems to be your tone and desire. And then there are websites that talk about reaching Catholics with the gospel of Jesus, because many Catholics know Catholic tradition better than they know the gospel. Just type in Reaching Catholics online, and you'll see quite a few sites that come up, Reaching Catholics for Christ and others, and you'll get good information there in terms of, okay, here are some differences. Here are unique things that Roman Catholicism holds to that I differ with. Let's sit down and look at that. But you want to go to the Lord, go to the Word, lift up Jesus more than tearing down other things.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line of fire. We are live on Black Friday. I hope you've not gotten caught up in the consumer frenzy of the day, but rather having some good family time. And if it's a good time to make some purchases, that you didn't get caught up in the spirit of the world. 866-34-TRUTH, same number as always. Maybe with your work schedule, you're not free to call during the show, but today you are. 866-348-7884. Just thinking now of our many listeners in the greater DFW area that join us for the last half hour of our live broadcast. And it is interesting, twice now in recent weeks, while in Dallas, while speaking to someone, they realized who I was by my voice. A fellow helping us at the hotel, I think his name was Joseph, if I'm right. And my key wasn't working for my room. It was about midnight. Just finished hanging out with Dr. Lance Wallnau and needed a new key for my room or the key reprogrammed. But, of course, they want to see your ID. Otherwise, you just say, I'm so-and-so, and I need a key for the room, and, you know, there you go, and you're not that person. So, anyway, I said, well, my wallet's in my room. As I was talking, though, he said, wait a second. He recognized who I was. I said, oh, voice recognition. And then a week ago today, as I got word that my dear, precious mom had left this world, and I had to hustle out. I was in Dallas to speak at a Messianic conference and was going from there to Florida to speak on Sunday services in Jacksonville. So I had to immediately get back for family and for funeral arrangements. And I'm there at the airport. My assistant Dylan had scrambled to get me on a flight to get back home, all these itinerary issues to process. So I'm there talking to the agent, and she's got my info in front of her, my name, and as we're talking, she says, wait, she said, I've heard your voice. And so it's very sweet to know that you're all part of the family. And again, so many of you have sent in kind words, prayers, condolences on the passing of my mom, or you've appreciated the tribute that we gave her online or that I wrote in her honor. So thank you for being part of the family. And we're here for you. We're here live. So if you have a question of any kind that you'd like to ask me, anything whatsoever that's appropriate for Christian radio, take advantage of this live broadcast on the day after Thanksgiving, 866-348-7884. We go to Linda in Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, I'll try to make this quick. I was listening a little while ago about eternal security, and you said that we can forfeit our salvation. I was saved. I became a Christian, and I was in a very legalistic, judgmental, critical system for 20-something years, raised my kids in that. It was really, really not a loving atmosphere, and I ended up very upset, angry, and, you know, disillusioned, walked away, stayed away for about 10 years, not from the Lord, but I didn't have anything to do with him either. I was really rejecting the system, but I also just walked away. I lived in sin. I was never happy. I was always guilty. And I came back to the Lord, but my question is, did he accept me back?
Yeah, well, Linda, first, I'm so glad that you came back to the Lord. And yes, I'm glad that you recognized that there was a legalism that does not reflect his heart. Why would you wonder if he accepted you back when you know in the Bible the prodigal son leaves the father, the father's waiting for him, the father runs out to greet him, and all the verses where God says, come back, I'll welcome you. Tell you what, we've got a break, but tell me why you wonder, because the Bible's so clear and God's heart is so clear that he runs to those returning to him. He longs to bring them back in the fold. So let's get this sorted out so you can have assurance today.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're live on the day after Thanksgiving. Michael Brown here, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. So back to Linda in Massachusetts. Linda, what would make you wonder if God would receive you if you walked away from him or from church and came back to him? What would make you question whether his heart is for you and whether he would keep his promises to you?
Because if you walk away from him, there is no more sacrifice for sin, but you just have this feeling of dread, knowing that he won't forgive you again.
All right, so you're pointing to Hebrews 10. What Hebrews 10 is talking about when you're in that state. In other words, it's writing in particular to Jewish people who thought that they could leave Jesus and go back to Judaism. They could leave the Messiah and go back to their Jewish traditions, and they still have the sacrifices at the temple. And Hebrews is saying, no, there is no sacrifice for sin. If we sin willfully, so if we are going to continue in sin and rebellion and think, well, I can just offer sacrifices. No, there is no sacrifice for sin. But to those that turn back, here, listen to what the word says emphatically, all right? This is from James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, and listen to what it says, all right? It says this, my brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins. So there it is. If anyone strays and someone turns him back, let him know whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins. And let's remember, again, the heart of the Father towards you, Linda. Jesus died for your sin of falling away as well. When Jesus saved you, he knew what would happen. He knew that you would go through this period of rebellion and straying, and he knew that God would bring you back. So when the prodigal son, exact same thing, right? When he comes to his senses and wants to come back and ask for forgiveness, it says, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. And the father wants to celebrate because his son is back. And what does he say? He said, our son was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. So that's God's heart. He runs out to greet you. He forgives, he embraces, he removes the guilt, and now your relationship with him can be even stronger because you know what it's like to live without him in your life.
Thank you.
And Linda, take this to heart. I've explained Hebrews 10 and what it means. That's for someone in willful, ongoing rebellion who thinks they have another way outside of Jesus. It's not for the person saying, God, forgive me, have mercy on me, I've sinned, wash me clean. So may the Lord give you assurance. May you renew your mind with the word so that you now embrace what the word says and not what your emotions and your mind may tell you. Thanks so much for calling. May God's peace be yours. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Tammy in Little Rock, Arkansas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that I was very blessed by your tribute to your mom, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much.
The scriptures in Luke 17, 26 through 36. And mainly the verses 30 through 36, I was wondering, does that apply to believers, and what does it really mean?
Yes, so Jesus says, beginning in verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, some say that means that the same wickedness that occurred in Noah's day will occur at the end of the age. That's possible. But verse 27 says, people went on eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So it seems to be saying that just as the world went on, people eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark, and then the flood came, just as that happened then, it will happen in the days of the Son of Man's return, the return of Jesus, that people will still be going on with life, still not believing that the end is near, and then judgment will come. It will be the same as it was in the days of Lot. People went on eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a man on the housetop whose belongings are in the house must not come down to get them. Likewise, the man who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to make his life secure will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Lot's wife looked back to her old life in Sodom. Lot's wife looked back to her possessions, her memories, whatever, even though the angel said, don't look back. And by looking back, she lost her life. So there's a spiritual lesson for all of us, which is don't look back in terms of don't try to save your life, your reputation, your memories, who you were in the world and in sin, but rather follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And when judgment comes, don't try to preserve what you have in the world, but follow him. Now, some of this obviously took place with the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70, but its ultimate fulfillment is at the end of the age. Then he says this, I tell you, on that night, two will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be in a field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Where, Lord, they asked him, he said to them, where the corpses, there also the vultures will be gathered, with imagery back from the book of Ezekiel there. So the popular teaching, Tammy, is that this refers to the rapture of the church, and it refers to the believers being taken out and the others left behind. I don't understand it like that. I understand the one taken means taken in judgment. Matthew 13, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, it is a parable, but there is an interesting application there, that the tares, the weeds, are gathered together first. They're taken out and gathered together to be burned, and the righteous are the ones who remain. So on the one hand, we flee the desires of the flesh. We flee the pull of the world. We say no to those things, and we say yes to God. If we lose our lives, we save them. If we try to save them, we lose them. At the same time, I understand Scripture teaching that we'll be here right through any period of tribulation or testing that exists, kept by God, preserved by him from his wrath that's poured out on the earth, but not preserved from the general upheaval of the world or the attacks of human beings and Satan. We always have that battle here. And those who are taken are the ones who are taken in judgment. In that case, we want to be left behind, because those left behind are the ones who are preserved, and those taken are the ones taken in judgment.
Okay. What about where it says on that day, I'm assuming that he's saying on the day when the Lord returns, let them that is on the housetop not come down. Is that applied to believers or to those that are still in sin?
No, that would apply to believers. In other words, when the final judgment is going to come, that's not the time for you to try to hoard up your possessions, because this is it. It's over. This is not the time for you to say, okay, we've got to get my things in order. No, that's the time to meet the Lord. And that, where the judgment's falling, get out of there and go meet him, so to say, if you want to make it, you know, a local thing. But with the application of Lot's wife, the looking back, that's not the time to say, oh, I'm going to get everything in order. I'm going to put, no, the Lord's coming. At that moment, you'll know it. It's not going to be speculation or a prophecy conference. You'll know it. The world will know it. That's the time we just say, Lord, here we are. Here we are. We're ready to be with you forever. And what a day that'll be dreadful for the world, but wonderful for us as God's people. And hey, Tammy, I've got a break here. But the biggest thing is, a lot of prophetic speculation gets us into areas that are gray. What's clear is that we need to live for the Lord every day and be ready to meet him either in his return or in death. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Use us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before I read a really interesting letter from a prisoner, I hope we can help on the broadcast today. Just want to make two special announcements to you. If you haven't heard yet, all of my digital downloads. These are teaching series, debates, a video series, audio series, all of them, many, many things to choose from, are all 50% off today on our website. All right, that's thelineoffire.org. You'll see it right on the homepage. All digital downloads, 50% off. We pray this will be a blessing to you. These are yours to keep. So order as many as you want. Go for it if you like. 50% off. Extensive teaching on countering counter-missionaries. Extensive teaching on spiritual warfare, on healing, on prophetic ministry. Debates with rabbis. Debates with Christian colleagues on different subjects. 50% off, and they are all yours to keep once you download them. Also, if we've been a blessing to you, I want to make a straightforward appeal to you to help us with this radio broadcast and with some urgent needs that we have right now. I had to cut back on some ministry with the passing of my mom, and then went to places to minister that don't have a lot of money, but I wanted to go and pour into them. We do it as often as we can. I go to India for my 24th time, God willing, a week from today, and then after that go to Italy on the way back for my 24th time. These are places where we'll pour ourselves out. We don't go there for finances. We're pouring into young people in Italy, and we're pouring into church planters and workers in tribal regions in India. So it's our way of serving. It's our way of giving. But we need your help to do that. All right. Jot this number down, 929-CHANGE-1, and help us change the world together. 929-CHANGE and the number 1, so that's 929-242-6431. That's a text to give app, and it's super easy to work. I checked it out yesterday. You type in 929-242-6431, 929-CHANGE-1. Type that in, and then where you normally put your text message, just put the amount that you want to give. If it's $50 or $100 or $1,000 or $5, put that amount in. And then you'll just have a quick dialogue with your info. It's all perfectly secure. And then once you have that set up, anytime you want to give, you don't have to go through that menu. But even then, it just takes a few seconds. If you can do that, your gift of any size would really, really help us. We're just in a crunch as we come to the end of the year and I get ready for my India trip. So thank you. Thank you for standing with us. Again, that's 929-CHANGE and the number 1 to do that. All right. Here's a letter from a prisoner. Please help me. I've been wanting to write you for years. Even had this envelope made out to you for months, but then never wrote. I can't put it off any longer. I'm in desperate need of spiritual advice and answers. So he writes, Dr. Brown, I was raised Lutheran, but after reading, studying several things put out by Herbert W. Armstrong, and studying the Jehovah's Witnesses on and off for many years, I've seen how the Lutheran faith errs in so many of their teachings. However, I never did adopt the tag Church of God or Jehovah's Witness. Instead, I've called myself Jewish and now Messianic since like 1993 after seeing in Romans 2:28-29 that one is a Jew inwardly rather than outwardly. Because even though I had spent many years partying, studying outside of my original religion, I had lost my faith and belief in Yeshua and Yahweh, even though I don't see Yeshua and Yahweh to be one and the same but equal and sharing the Holy Spirit's essence. Dr. Brown, I've been studying the Word on a deeper level since I've been incarcerated pretty much the entire nearly 22 years. However, I'm now thinking maybe the scribes were correct at Mark 3:22 that Jesus speaks by Beelzebub. Let me explain. We're told in the Word that Antichrist will come performing miracles and gather many to him. What is the Christian world population? That Satan comes as an angel of light. Yeshua is called the light of the world. Then all the prayers I've offered in his name that have gone unanswered is me seriously questioning his deity. Also, it doesn't appear that I've been transformed one iota after 40 years of personal study. So while listening to someone's message the other day or reading something, because I listen to many different ministers and read all kinds of Christian Hebrew literature, the thought came to me, maybe I'm not saved, never have been saved. Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to talk to an unsaved person on a daily basis? Dr. Brown, he checks me all the time when I fall short in sin. He reminds me that I need to spend time with Yahweh. He moved me to write you, etc. I heard you on the Line of Fire September 4th saying that you wrote an article about those who were raised in the faith but have become unbelievers. I'd like a copy of this article and some personal words to help me, Dr. Brown. As I said, I'm desperate. I think I'm losing my mind. One other thing before I close, I've recently taken on intercessory prayer for this young male model I saw in a tattoo magazine who was wearing a satanic t-shirt. He appeared to be watching a satanic worship service but looked quite naive to the ways. Could this have been anything to do with my feelings of late? I don't pray for him aloud anymore, but I know Satan's cohorts are looking over my shoulder reading this. Thank you for your assistance. All right, sir, my heart goes out to you in the many struggles you have, and obviously writing many mutually contradictory things in your letter, there is a lot of confusion you're struggling with. I don't fault you for that. I say that to help you. All right, here's why you wrote to me. It's so I could tell you to major on the majors and put everything into having a healthy, enjoyable relationship with God, all right? The goal here is not to figure out all the different questions. The goal is not to figure out all the different questions that you're wrestling with. The goal is to know God as your Father, to know Jesus as your Lord, to know the Holy Spirit as the one that guides you and leads you, and to put your emphasis on having a relationship with God and enjoying His goodness. Think of it like this. Think if you were going with a woman and you're going to marry that woman, you would not be endlessly asking her about, tell me about your background. Tell me about your parents' background. Tell me about what country your parents or great-grandparents came from. Tell me about the language history of your ancestors. No, you'd be spending time with each other and enjoying life together and doing things together. That's what you want to do with God. Read the Word not so much for information right now, okay? Read the Word primarily so that you can live a life pleasing to the Lord, and you can take in this daily spiritual nourishment of the living Word of the living God. And understand that our one God that we serve and love, we know Him as Father, Son, and Spirit. The Father is the source of all things. We go to Him in prayer, we lean on Him, and we trust Him as we pray that He will answer with wisdom, and He will answer according to His will and plan. We lean on Him. We look to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, for washing us clean. Jesus paid for every sin you and I have ever committed, and therefore, whatever you've done, wherever you've fallen short, that forgiveness is there, and the Holy Spirit will lead you, will guide you, and will instruct you. So get to know the Lord. And don't get caught up in a lot of other issues right now. Build a relationship of joy and fellowship with Him and tell others about how good He is. And may the Lord give you peace of mind. My bottom line today, in Him, there is eternal peace and security.